In this session, we will look at the rules that apply to intangible fixed assets, or IFAs, which I will commonly refer to throughout this session. From the 1st of April 2002, new rules were introduced to align the tax treatment of IFAs with the accounting treatment. I must emphasize that these rules apply to companies only, not to individuals and partnerships. In other words, we examine the items which have gone through the profit and loss account, both as income and expenditure, and the tax treatment will mirror the profit and loss account entries. Intangible fixed assets include patents, registered trademarks, designs and copyright, and very importantly, goodwill. IFAs include fungible assets. A fungible asset is defined as an asset which can be dealt in without identifying the particular assets involved. An example would be a milk quota in the dairy farming industry. Fungible assets of the same kind, held by the same person in the same industry, are treated as indistinguishable parts of a single asset. Certain assets are expressly excluded from the provisions. Where an asset is excluded, an option or other right to acquire or dispose of such an asset is also excluded. Assets entirely excluded are rights over tangible assets, such as oil licenses, financial assets, rights in companies, trusts, etc., and assets held for non-commercial purposes, etc. Assets excluded, except as regards royalties, are assets held for a life assurance business, assets held for any mutual trade or business, film and sound recordings, and computer software treated as part of cost of related hardware. Assets excluded from the provisions, to the extent specified, are research and development expenditure and capital expenditure on computer software. Firstly, let us look at the tax treatment of both trade and non-trade IFAs. We examine the debits and credits that have gone through the profit and loss account. Debits being expenses on which we claim relief, and credits being income on which we pay tax. If the intangible fixed asset is used for the purposes of the company's trade, then debits and credits are recognized as part of the trade profit calculation. In other words, there will be no need to make an adjustment in the corporation tax computation, as the amount that is available for tax relief, or taxable as income, will be the amount that has been put through the company's profit and loss account. If the IFA is used in a property letting business, then the debits and credits are taxed and relieved as part of the profits from that property business. All other debits and credits on intangible fixed assets are pooled together. If this results in an overall credit, it will be taxable as a non-trading gain on IFAs. If this results in an overall loss, it will be relievable as non-trading loss on IFAs. Certain reliefs are available for this loss. So what are these reliefs available for non-trading IFA losses? There is a relief available in the current year against the company's total profit for that period. It is possible also to group relieve the non-trade IFA loss to a fellow 75% group company. More about groups of companies in later sessions in this corporation tax module. Finally, the amounts that we do not relieve in the current year or by group relief may be carried forward and treated as a non-trading debit of the next accounting period. Let us now examine the impact of these two rules on corporation tax computations. Firstly, taking a look at royalty payments. Royalty payments are allowable as either a deduction from trade profits if they were paid for trade purposes, as a deduction from income of a property business where applicable, or as a non-trading debit on IFAs. The allowable amount is calculated on the accruals basis. Both patent and copyright royalties are paid gross between UK companies. Remember that all figures that appear in the tax computation must be gross. Patent royalties paid to individuals or non-UK resident companies are paid net of 20% basic rate tax. Royalty receipts in the corporation tax computation are treated as part of trade profit or non-trading credits on IFAs. Again, the accruals basis, as used in the company's accounts, will apply for tax purposes. Goodwill,
was dealt with under the capital gains regime up until the 31st of March 2002. There was also the possibility of rolling over any gains on the sale of such assets against the base cost of a replacement asset. Goodwill will now only give rise to income gains or losses. Goodwill has ceased to be a qualifying asset for capital gains rollover relief. However, a form of rollover relief is available. The rules apply to goodwill bought or created after the 1st of April 2002. In addition, and very importantly, for goodwill purchased and other IFAs acquired or created on or after the 1st of April 2002, the company is allowed a deduction for the amortization or impairment charged in the accounts. Amortization and impairment are the names for the depreciation charge for an intangible asset. Alternatively, the company can claim a straight-line deduction of 4% on cost. For instance, for accounting purposes, we might write the asset off over, say, 30 years, but for tax purposes, it will be written off over a maximum of 25 years. International Accounting Standard No. 38, IAS 38, does not allow a company to amortize goodwill. Goodwill will be stated in the balance sheet at fair value and subject to an impairment review. When a company first adopts IAS 38, it may be required to increase the carrying value of goodwill. The write-up is treated as a taxable credit, limited to the amount of relief already given. Any impairment from written-up cost will be deductible. The realization of an IFA will result in either an income gain or a loss. Where a gain arises, a form of rollover relief may be available. A realization is defined as any transaction resulting, in accordance with generally accepted accounting practice, in the asset ceasing to be recognized in the company's balance sheet, or a reduction in the accounting value of the asset, usually where only part of the asset is sold or otherwise realized. Transaction includes any event giving rise to a gain recognized for accounting purposes. The proceeds of realization are those recognized for accounts purposes less any incidental costs of realization. Where an asset has been written down for tax, the gain is the difference between the proceeds and the tax written down value. If no amounts have been written off for tax, then the full cost may be deducted. In the case of a part realization, the amount deducted is adjusted pro rata to the accounting value attributable to the realization and the accounting value before realization. We use the formula now appearing on the screen, i.e. cost or tax written down value before realization multiplied by the reduction in accounting value divided by the previous accounting value. Reduction in the accounting value is the difference between the accounting value immediately before the realization compared with that immediately after the realization. Previous accounting value is the accounting value immediately before the realization. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. An asset has a book value of £2,200 and a tax written down value of £1,800. It is partly realized for £1,650. The book value of the retained part is £825. The amount written off for accounting purposes is then £1,375, being £2,200 less the £825. The accounting profit is therefore £1,650 minus £1,375, giving £275. The tax deduction, calculated using the formula on your screen, will be the tax written down value of £1,800 multiplied by the reduction in accounting value of £1,375 divided by the previous accounting value of £2,200, giving a deduction of £1,125. The taxable credit will therefore be the proceeds of realisation of £1,650 less the tax deduction of £1,125, giving £525. An accounting profit will need to be adjusted by £250.
We will now take a look at the rollover relief on the sale of an intangible fixed asset.
If an IFA is sold, then any gain arising will be an income gain.
Let us take an example. Let us consider an IFA that was purchased on the 1st of May 2009 for £250,000 and sold for £300,000 on the 31st of December 2009.
Assume we amortize the IFA at 10% per annum, and the company's year end is the 30th of June.
The amortization charged in the accounts over the period of ownership will be £16,667, being £250,000 multiplied by 10% multiplied by 8/12. The amortization is charged for the 8-month period for which the company owned the goodwill, 1st of May 2009 to the 31st of December 2009.
The written down value of the asset is therefore £233,333.
The proceeds on the sale of the asset are £300,000. We then deduct the written down value of the asset, giving us a gain on the disposal of £66,667.
This will be the amount of income recognised in the company's P&L account, and this will be taxable as part of trade profit or non-trading credit on IFAs or profits of a property business.
With regard to the rollover relief provisions, the proceeds must be reinvested in the period 12 months before the sale of the old IFA and 36 months after. This is the normal rollover relief period in respect of replacement of business assets. For full relief to be given, the whole proceeds must be reinvested into new intangible fixed assets. The proceeds on sale of the old intangible are reduced by the profit on this disposal, the profit being here the proceeds less the cost of the old asset. This profit is deducted from the amount on which we claim tax relief on the new IFA. In other words, it is rolled over against the cost of the new replacement asset. Let us take a look at an illustration. Continuing the last example, the company purchases new intangible fixed assets for £400,000 during the reinvestment period. The profit on the sale of the old asset is the proceeds of £300,000 less the cost of £250,000, which is £50,000. This is the amount eligible for the new rollover.
This £16,667 represents a reversal of the write-off of the amortization.
The cost of the new asset for tax purposes is reduced by the rollover. We have bought the new asset for £400,000, and for tax purposes we are rolling over £50,000 worth of profit from the sale of the old asset, reducing the cost to £350,000. If in the accounts we are amortizing this asset over the next 10 years, that will be a deduction for tax purposes of £35,000 each year for 10 years. For accounting purposes, we will be amortizing the full £400,000 over 10 years, which is £40,000 each year, as we do not roll over profits for accounting purposes. So therefore, in the corporation tax computation, we need to add back £5,000 each year for the next 10 years. We will now look at the rules applicable to partial rollovers. If only part of the proceeds are reinvested, then the rollover is restricted to the cost of the new intangible less the cost of the old intangible. In the previous example, if the new asset is acquired for, say, just £270,000, the rollover would now become just £20,000, i.e. the cost of the new less the cost of the old asset. The cost of the new asset for tax purposes now becomes £250,000. The cost of the new asset less the amount of the profit on the sale of the old asset. We are allowed to roll over if we choose to do so. We will now look at the rules that apply to groups of companies. The definition is the same as that of which applies to a capital gains group, i.e., we are looking at companies who own 75% of the shares of other companies. Within a group, transfers between the companies have no effect for tax, so do not trigger disposals and acquisitions. Also, the group-wide rollover rules apply in that where one company sells an intangible and then another company in that same group reinvests in another intangible, the rollover can apply between the different companies. In addition, where a company purchases control of another company, that is, it controls the voting rights of the company which holds intangible fixed assets, this counts as an eligible reinvestment, which will be the lower of the written down value of the intangible fixed assets included in the company purchased or the cost of the shares acquired in that company. A joint election between the acquiring company and the company owning the intangible assets must be made for this to apply. If a company leaves a group within 6 years of an intra-group IFA transfer, taking the intangible fixed asset with it, the original transfer is deemed to have taken place at the market value. Debits or credits arising are taxed on the company leaving the group at the time of it leaving. These rules are very similar to the Section 179 exit charges, which apply to other assets. We will look at these rules later on in this corporation tax module under groups of companies and chargeable gains. The group can elect to charge the credit or relieve the debit in another company, for instance, to secure a lower tax rate in another group company. Finally, let us look at the commencement rules that apply to intangible fixed assets themselves. The new rules apply to intangible fixed assets bought or created from the 1st of April 2002 onwards. Taking a look at this cutoff, costs incurred up to this date are not allowed, and costs incurred from that date will be allowed for tax purposes. Where expenditure on a particular intangible is incurred either side of this date, then a just and reasonable apportionment should be made. No relief is available for internally generated goodwill in respect of businesses that commenced before the 1st of April 2002. Finally, I would recommend that you go back over this chapter once you have dealt with the groups of company rules, which will mean that more of this will make sense in a group context.